Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2010. Lecture 24, delivered on December 8, 2010. The title of this lecture is Review for Final Exam.
Today, review for final exam. You take my two exams I have given you and the quizzes that I've given you, and you've got a very good idea of my final exam. The workout problems are the same as what you would have seen on the exams with different numbers in them. There will not be any question that you have not seen, not been tested on. Essentially, I take the questions from the exams and I simply change the numbers because those questions are objectives of the course. I'm not going to get fancy on you, not terribly fancy anyway. Let me go through the grinder. And as far as essays go, some of them will be essays that I've asked before. Many of them will be at least certainly something very similar to what I've asked before. The grading will be tighter this time on the essays simply because you know what I want you to say. On some of them, I've told you exactly what you should say to me. In a course like this, one of the unfortunate things is that I'm teaching you not to be creative as business people. I don't want you to think out of the box until you've shown me that you know everything about what's in the box perfectly. This is how you'll survive in business college, and this is how you rise in the business world, is by parroting what is told to you. That's how it works, unfortunately. We are not creative unless we're drunk and staggering down the street writing graffiti. And then we hope no one's actually videotaping us doing it. So when I tell you this is what I want you to say on an essay question, and I did that with exams 1 and 2. If you see that same question again, you say what I told you to say. That's how it works. I know that doesn't sound very cool, but that's unfortunately the way we have to be in our lives as business people. Notwithstanding everyone who says you have to think out of the box and all of that. Now, here's the deal. Here's how it works. You've got 30 multiple choice questions. No matching, just 30 multiple choice questions, 3 points each. At least some of them, a number of them will be the same questions I've asked you on the exams. Exams 1 and 2 or on the quizzes. And those would be the ones where there is just a core objective that I am trying to get across, or it's a question where you had a very high miss rate. So just study those multiple choice questions. Now, others of the multiple choice will be very similar, but just numbers would be changed. Like on exam 2, I gave you a break-even question as multiple choice question. Very likely you'll see a break-even question on the final. It'll just be different numbers. Just crank it the same way you would have before, and you can get through these very easily. Now, I caution you that the second part of the course is going to be fresher in your mind than that first. You remember, think back to those early days of this course, back when we were all still young. We were in love. We were happy. And a lot of that stuff is now just a faded, hazy memory. Remember things like I talked to you about the Federal Reserve System, how interest rates are driven, how they're determined, those kinds of questions from the first part of the course, surplus and deficit economic units, financial intermediation, things like that, those kinds of concepts that were early on, it seemed like they've kind of disappeared in the mechanical stuff that we've done since then. Go back. You have to, because I'll ask those on the multiple choice, and you'll see them again in the workout, and especially in the essay questions. Now, let me be very specific here. I'm not going to be terribly specific, but I'll give you some ideas about what things that I would ask. You need to know net present value kinds of questions in the multiple choice, internal rate of return, like in exam two. You need to know the relationship between risk and expected return, one of those early concepts of the course. Know what happens to a bond's price as it approaches the time of maturity. Know the relationship between price and coupon and yield. Those are questions that are bait for multiple choice. Know the claims of equity and debt. What has prior claim? What has residual claim? Know how to price a T-bill. Remember those discount bonds? That was sort of like my first shot on a quantitative kind of concept was how a discount bond works, how you find the yield on a discount bond. Remember if I told you that the discount bond was selling at 98.25, you would find the yield by taking 1.75 divided by 98.25, did I say? Yeah. That kind of thing. Know the different forms of the SEC would mandate for different kinds of registrations, what a 10K is, what a Q, what an 8K is. Formulas, know the different formulas for pricing new equity, old equity, or existing equity. Know agency costs. On the exam, I will give you a graph, on the multiple choice, I will give you a graph showing bond, showing price and yield of bonds, price of bonds, as the supply increases or as the demand increases, and I will ask you what the Federal Reserve is doing. Is it executing open market operations that are expansionary or contractionary? I'll ask you two questions like that. I'll even do this for you right now. If I have a fail. Did you see that? Not even a mark. And these are for bonds. You'll see that two questions with that picture referencing that pair of pictures right there. I won't tell you any more about it, but that you will see that in the multiple choice section. It'll have to do with Federal Reserve open market policy, open market operations. Now, more broadly, I will expect you to understand the tools of monetary policy. We care about those deeply in business. Right now, it's just obsessive what the Fed is doing with this quantitative easing, when it's going to finally get scared of inflation and turn around. And while I'm on that subject, make sure you know what the risk premium is all about. Make sure you know the difference between diversifiable and non-diversifiable risk. Know the difference between a capital market and a money market. Know the difference between a bill, a bond, and a note. Know the difference between the buyer and the seller of a debt instrument. Now let me go on to part three. Oh, I'm sorry, to the workout portion of the exam. I will give you a marginal cost of capital question, just like I did on the second exam. You will have a IOS, MCC type of question. You almost all of you stood tall on that. Just stay frosty. You've got it as a narrative. Just get it done right. It'll look very similar to the one on exam two. I want you to know how to do those when you come out of my course. I will give you a bond question, like on exam two. I will expect you to be able to price a bond and find its yield to maturity. Know that the bond is quoted at a tenth of par, and you are to report its price at a quoted at a tenth of its price, and I want you to report back to me in due form at a tenth of the actual price. I will have you, and also know that I expect you to price it assuming that the coupons are semi-annual. That is standard form. When you come out of here, you will already have that in your mind, and that will make that a little bit easier. I will have you price a stock, just like I did on exam two. Make sure you know how to use the capital asset pricing model. I might not do it that way. I might just give you the discount rate. But I would anticipate that you'll know that there's some way that I will test you on CAPM, because it is a long-standing, traditional, important touchstone in finance. I will ask you to find a mortgage interest, a mortgage payment, like I did on exam one. More broadly, I will ask you to find the present value and or the future value of an annuity. Be careful to make sure you know what you can tell, whether it's a regular annuity or an annuity due. If it is a regular annuity, present or future, the payment comes at the end of the period. I will flag you with the words. Key for my word. Your first payment comes right now. Oh, that's an annuity due. Go down on your calculator and put the end, hit the begin button. Yeah. Just don't let me trip you, because I'll try to. I won't make it some monstrous ninja trap, but there's places where you could fall over if you don't look at my words. I will have you calculate some financial ratios, like I did on exam one. Nothing hugely complicated, but just make sure when I'm looking for debt, that you watch out for any intermediate debt in there too. And remember, the reason I'm doing that is this. It was just because I've seen companies moving toward intermediate debt and away from long-term debt. So if you don't catch the intermediate term debt and add that to long-term debt, you get a misview of the company's debt to assets ratio and what their leverage is. The second of my questions for the narrative, I will give you I will have you calculate coefficients of variation, sales volatility, operating volatility, operating leverage, financial leverage. Make sure you go back. You know how to do those. It will be a narrative that you will have. There will be two narratives, so just make sure that you know how to do that kind of stuff. Okay.
By narrative, you mean
no, a narrative I will put up on the web. You will have the marginal cost of capital, and you will have the calculation of volatilities. And the reason I do that is simply that those problems take time, and they can drag you down. And it's, as you've seen, when I'm doing them fast on the board, you can make mistakes. It's so easy to make a mistake, and then you just blow everything after that. On this exam, there is almost no partial credit in anything but the essays, and even in the essays, it kind of vanishes. There will be one more question that I will leave you to worry about without any warnings, so I'll let you sweat that one out yourselves. Now for essays. I will give you 7 and I want you to answer 5. 7 and you answer 5. And as I've said before, it's just because sometimes you can just draw a complete blank on a question. And also, it gives you a chance to play not so much to your strength, but away from a weakness you have in an understanding of a concept. Now let me go through some possibilities for essay questions. As I said, some of them will be the same essay question I asked you before, especially if it's one where your answers were weak, but also something that would be an important part of the course. So let me walk you through. Not all of these would be on the exam, certainly some other ones will be on there. But this gives you an idea of some that you should focus on in this course, in your study, for the final exam. What is the relationship between risk and expected return? Why does the optimal capital structure include equity? Even though equity is theoretically more expensive than debt. What is the agency dilemma? And what are the costs that an agent can extract? What are the components of the risk premium in a security? What do I mean by the risk-free rate? Explain how the Federal Reserve would increase short-term interest rates using open market operations. How do surplus economic units and deficit economic units come together in our global financial system? And what are the 3 factors by which matching occurs? What does beta of a security mean? Distinguish diversifiable from non-diversifiable risk. What do I mean when I say that equity has the residual claim on the cash flows of a corporation? That's enough. Again, remember, I've told you what I want you to give for answers. Don't send me emails. Can you give me that answer again? No, I won't. And by the way, as far as emails go, I'm going to catch up over the next few days. I've been getting, when I get like a couple of 100 email messages, I begin to lose my will to live. So I'll be catching up on that. It's your turn. Go ahead, ask question. Go ahead. No, a 4x6 card, both sides. Dream on, Sparky. No, for God's sake, you're at the end of the course. You're supposed to be financial geniuses now. Go ahead, Mr. Yeah. Okay, that was your question. You see what you care about. Yeah. Oh, you have to, for God's sake. Yeah, those are acceptable, but don't bring anything else on those, okay? For this, yeah. Can you bring your narratives with you? Yes, of course you can. No, you can. You know, no, you have to tattoo them on your ass and look behind you. No, I'm not going to watch your back. You're ugly. Go ahead. Yeah, no cards. But the narratives have just what you need for the exam on them. You know, don't try to sneak little notes on the sides because that'll piss me off. Okay. What else do you want to ask me? Now, again, I'll be here on Wednesday. It'll be about 4 o'clock when I'll just be wandering around down there in the around the Bistro Cafe area, buying noms and eating them and seeing what people want. Yeah. The Wednesday exam is from 5:30 to 7:20. I've got it up on the website now. And then the Thursday exam, I should be here. It is from 8 to 9:50. I should be here by about 7 for that, if you've got any last-minute questions. I don't usually have to because people do so damn well on it. And I'm sure you will, too. People are saying, bullshit. Okay. Now I'm going to turn this over to the designated students who are going to hand out the evaluations. The secretary on the fourth floor in the finance office at the top of the stairs, she said she'll be there until 4:30, okay? So if you can get them done by then. Yeah, go ahead. It's a 200 point, but it's percentage. You know, it's a percentage. It's 30% of the course. But yeah, it's 200 points, yeah. Yeah. That's if the participation was part of the attendance, and I count that as your quizzes. If you were here for a quiz, you were in attendance that day. So there were 7 attendances taken. That's all I have for you today and for the rest of your natural lives. I thank you for being my students.